Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about sustainability, conscious compassion and awareness, and we'll also be taking your call. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and Sherry is not with us tonight, and I'm excited to announce that we have two very special guests with us tonight talking about the topic of sustainability. I'd like to welcome Dave McKay and Deb Tull, who are senior monks at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Hey, Michael.
Hi. Hi, Deb. Welcome. Deb, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, good to be here.
Thanks for being on the air today with us.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, great. Hey, what can you tell us about sustainability?
Well, we at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, we have a really neat situation where we have a center where we're offering the practice of peace and sustainability that seem to go hand in hand for us. And we look a lot at sustainability as a process. So oftentimes in the world, we're presented kind of in this doom and gloom sort of a way with all of the challenging things happening in terms of how the earth, how our lifestyles are not sustainable and the effects of that. And we're also presented with a lot of shoulds. So because of this doom and gloom, this is what you should do. You should buy this and not that. You should cut this out of your life. You should, a lot of shoulds.
Yeah.
And we're often not presented with an option in there that includes ourselves and includes kindness in a process, a practice, as we say, of how do we learn to live in a sustainable way.
So in other words, you're saying that not only, so typically folks would focus on the outside, you know, what's sustainable on the outside, but if we're not doing a process that's sustainable on the inside, then we won't be living sustainably no matter what we do on the outside. Is that kind of what you mean?
Exactly, because if I'm not living sustainably on the inside, if I'm not even aware that I'm not living sustainably on the inside, it's impossible for me to be practicing that on the outside. Whatever I'm doing inside is going to be mirrored outside. So I could be trying to buy organic this and support this business and that business, but if I'm not including myself in the process of sustainability, then it's not really going to have the effect that we would hope it would.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be enjoyable and fun.
Yeah, fun's the key word for it for me, and also because, you know, when we started off this year and decided we were going to focus this year on sustainability, you know, the obvious thing that came to mind was, you know, we're going to look at our power system, and we were going to look at our water system and how we buy food and growing food and all the sort of external things. And then, of course, it occurred to us, well, gosh, we need to look at, you know, sustainability on the inside, too. And it's been a discovery process. So, you know, everything that we're doing on the outside becomes for us, and this is what's so typical for the awareness practice that we do and what makes it so exciting. Everything on the outside becomes a metaphor for what's happening on the inside. So as we practice with, you know, what is sustainable on the outside, then we get to see, well, what is sustainable on the inside? And we find out things like, you know, peace is sustainable, love is sustainable, compassion and joy are sustainable. And like Deb's pointing out, shoulds, have-tos, unhappiness, all those things are unsustainable.
Yes. Yes, you've taken away my whole line of questioning for the rest of the show. And that's good. And to me, that's so exciting about the way that you're talking about it in terms of, you know, the whole focus out in the world seems to be externally how we have to be and what we should do. And what you're pointing at is that the kindness for the world needs to be extended to kindness inside as well.
Yes, and what's really neat is oftentimes sort of out in the world when we're looking at sustainability, there's a lot of finger pointing that goes on.
Yes.
A lot of these people are doing this, and these people are the cause of the problem, and this kind of thing. And as we get more in touch with our internal process and how that doesn't really feel good inside ourselves to come from that place. When we turn the attention within, as Dave is saying, to see how our life process is sustainable or not, it allows a lot more room for compassion for everyone, all different walks of life, rather than it being a finger-pointing thing. Well, more of a place of acceptance. We're all in this together. Yep, this is a really rugged situation. And how do I want to be in this?
Mm-hmm. And, of course, that attitude of mind is sustainable.
Yes.
The finger-pointing is unsustainable. Yeah. For me, it's particularly beautiful how it works that it has to be an inside-out process. So, you know, the place where sustainability really begins is with me and how I am with myself. Because if I'm doing a process that's unsustainable, like a process of self-hatred, then what all my actions will be colored by that. And my influence on the world will be unsustainable. But if I start off on the inside doing a process of that is sustainable, like, you know, self-compassion, you know, loving attention for myself, caring, sort of step-by-step self-awareness, then everything that happens on the outside of me will also be that. And so the way I'll be in the world will be sustainable just from starting off, almost like as a natural consequence of who I am inside, because that is who I am inside, and that's what I'm being as I'm being with myself in the world.
Yes, it's exciting in that sense, and I was just thinking in terms of projection as you were talking, and it's just such a beautiful system that we learn to take care of ourselves. And in that process, it extends naturally to everyone and everything that we interact with.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's the most exciting part to me just about awareness practice is that it's a natural extension outward. It's not something I have to do or try to do or should do. It's just that when I'm at peace with myself, when there's kindness in my internal landscape, it just naturally comes out of me. We just naturally want to pay attention to the world around us, to take care of the garden in the same way that we take care of the insect that walks across our desk. It's just natural.
Yes, yes. It's great, and it's so simple and straightforward in the way that you're talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And fun, too. I just keep coming back to that word because it really is fun. I had an experience earlier today where I'm getting ready to leave the monastery for a while, and for a week to go do an event somewhere else, and I was going over our power system with a couple of the monks to make sure that everyone kind of understood how it worked, because we've just done some changes recently, and we were talking about our new well pump. We've got this brand new thing. We put a direct current well pump in the ground, and so now every time that the sun shines, we pump water, and it's really sustainable. It requires no outside energy for it to work. And then we were talking about it, I realized, well, gosh, you know, exactly the same thing works on the inside. You know, what's sustainable brings energy. It adds to. It doesn't subtract from. And so, you know, like if I am being with myself in a way that's full of love and joy, I bring energy from myself to the world. It's like I bring the energy of life into the world.
Yeah.
If I'm doing a process of, like shoulds, like Deb's talking about, that draws energy. You know, my energy is going into that, and I become sort of an energy hole or an energy deficit for the world.
Yes.
And so it's just really fun that way to, you know, just to have something like sustainability in our mind and just be looking and just be learning just from that, just kind of from that point of view, you know, who it is I want to be and what it is I want to be inside.
Yes, yes. And it's interesting the way you frame it that way, because doing a practice like this can look from conditioning like it's a self-centered process.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're talking about, when we bring attention to ourselves and what we need, we have the energy for life.
Exactly, because of course we aren't bringing our attention to the self. That's the self that is full of doubt and shame and hatred.
Yes.
Because that's exactly what's not sustainable. You know, if you look at what's going on in the world, all the difficulty that's happening, that's why it's happening.
Yes.
Because everyone's attention is going into this sort of machine that's consuming the vitality and the energy of the people on the planet and through them, the planet itself.
Yes.
But, you know, looking to the self that is not ego, you know, the self that is that I share with everyone else, then that's something, you know, it's the opposite of selfish, because that's what sort of brings us all together and puts us in a place where we can all participate and where we can all create possibilities that bring energy and transformation into the world.
Yes, yes. And I'm excited to let you know that we have a caller who would like to join our conversation.
Sure.
I'd like to welcome Adam from New York. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Hi.
Adam.
Thanks for taking the call. It's nice to also speak to some of the other members of the team. I'm here in New York, and I've attended both of Sherry's East Coast events last week, and then one of the monks had a workshop in Philadelphia, so I've been kind of a groupie for the past couple days.
Great.
And, yeah, and it's great. You know, it puts me in a great zone. This was a question I had been just preparing for a couple nights, and probably in somewhat response to the wonderful week I had attending all the workshops.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you don't mind, it'll be able to relate back, and I guess in some way to what you guys have been discussing. I have a couple different opportunities locally where I am to further Zen practice specifically, but I'm coming up against some just confusion and I guess just conditioned resistance as far as deepening practice. Basically, I follow all the Living Compassion work, and I read Sherry's books constantly, and I listen to the radio show archives every week, and I'm very tuned into what's going on out in California and what the work you guys are doing all over the world. And I realize that that is, you know, it's a huge part of my practice, just staying in touch with the work that you guys are doing, and the messages that you put out. And the confusion seems to come in when I think about opportunities to further, I guess, traditional Zen Buddhist studies locally over here. I'm fortunate to have several different Zendos, you know, in proximity to where I live and go to school. And there's, you know, the Soto and Rinzai and more kind of, you know, traditional Buddhist stuff. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm interested in it, but I'm coming up against a lot of resistance to, I think, just to dive in, because I'm wondering if it's generally the path that I want to take. And I guess what, conditionally speaking, what seems to confuse the issue is that, you know, I have all of Sherry's books on my shelf, and I listen to the radio show, and that's kind of like, it feels like the essence of my attraction to a lot of, you know, just, I guess, my relationship to Zen these days.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of excited when I found out that you guys were going to be on the show because of the path that you guys have taken and, you know, living and working at the monastery and everything like that. So I hope this makes some sense. It's just...
Yeah, so Adam, it sounds like you've had a real resonance with Living Compassion's work.
Oh, absolutely.
The workshops you've attended. And there you are back in New York, and there's this sort of conversation that you're getting caught up in your mind about,
yes.
Well, I want to pursue Zen more, because this all stems from Zen, and this whole confusion about, is this right for me, or is this right for me?
Exactly.
Kind of puts you in a place where you're in the middle of some mind chaos, it sounds like.
And I see very clearly that I'm looking to condition mind for clarity on this issue, which is why it's obviously not providing any.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of the crux right now.
Yeah, you're aware, but that's the place that you're in right now.
Yeah, the way I'm approaching this, it's not going to resolve itself anytime soon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And is it your experience that when you've really felt the resonance, let's say with the recent workshops you've attended and stuff, there's been that sort of back-and-forth conversation in your mind? or it's been an experience of, yes, this clearly is speaking to me.
Well, when I'm, you know, like I saw Sherry twice last week, and you know, for the 2 hours, I walked in with a smile and I walked out with a bigger one.
Uh-huh.
And it just, and it was, and then I went to the workshop in Philadelphia, and again, it was just, you know, there was no, I get, you know, there was no chanting, there wasn't even like, you know, any intense sitting. It was just being part of such a wonderful, lively message and practice.
And it's really interesting, isn't it? Because the way you're describing it does connect with what we've been talking about around sustainability. Because you have
Absolutely. When I heard you mention that line, you know, like a natural, a natural extension of your practice, so that it doesn't become a question of should I buy organic or should I go solar.
Well, what I hear is it doesn't become a question up in your head. It just
right.
You said your smile became that much bigger.
Absolutely.
So then after that experience, you kind of turned to conditioned mind, and the energy started getting sucked away by
right.
that conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think in that is the answer to your question, because what you're, you know, you're, the focus for your attention is on, okay, well, how do I want to pursue my practice? And in that question, what you're being asked to do is to look to see, where do I look for information in a way that's in keeping with my heart? And where am I looking? Where do I look? That's ego.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just in the kind of examples you've given, it just makes it really clear what's what. You know, when we're looking to our heart, there's that experience of openness, and we have that smile.
Mm-hmm.
It's relaxed. When we're looking to ego, you know, there's that confusion, and that, you know, for a lot of people, there's a sense of kind of being stuck or being being paralyzed.
Right.
And so as you go about, you know, so there's all these different options available to you, these different groups, and so that's what you'll be practicing. So maybe you'll go to a group, and what you'll be looking to instead of conditioned mind is to, you know, what does my heart say about this?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, in that, learning how to let your heart guide you instead of conditioned mind, and then through that process, you know, you're having your heart show you whatever choices that you'd like to make.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does fit in with sustainability, because as I'm listening, what I'm getting is just what we're doing in practice is supporting our heart. So we're creating an environment where our heart is supported to guide us, where we are supported in turning to the heart instead of conditioned mind
mm-hmm.
for our answers, turning to our experience. And that's the place where... Yeah, you know, we just want to make the choice that it takes care of us, and it takes care of the environment, too. It takes care of critters, and it takes care of... it's not an overly consumptive place, and like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying that attitude of mind is what's sustainable.
Yes, that's the attitude of mind that is sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah, that... That seems, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's clear. That's the that's the clarity that I've been trying to chase in vain most of the week, yeah.
Yeah. And what I love about it is it's just so Buddhist. You know, that's exactly what the Buddha taught, you know, that we have inside of each of us what we're looking for, including all, you know, all the wisdom and all the clarity we could ever want. It's just that we're so habituated to turn to confusion
mm-hmm.
to guide us instead of to that clarity. And so as we, you know, embark upon this, the journey that spiritual practice offers, you know, that's what it is that we have to get, which is the difference between those two, and then learn how to live from that place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because oftentimes we talk about kind of the mind of not enough, the part of us that believes there's not enough and I don't have what I need and that orientation to life versus the orientation of trust, essentially, of learning to see is what Dave's pointing to, that we have everything we need
mm-hmm.
in every moment if we're willing to just stay here and be with it.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, I mean, that it's been, I mean, that, yeah, it's been exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have great, you know, when I just, I mean, you know, last week it was just wonderful from the beginning of the week till the end. It was in it very much where I wanted to be and what I wanted to do as, you know, what I loved about the practice. And then, of course, you know, when it was over, then the, you know, then all of a sudden my attention turned, and that was when the conversation started, and
exactly,
has not stopped, as it won't.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's absolutely okay. In a way, you could even say it's helpful, because you have that contrast to see.
Mm.
So you can tell, it just becomes clear and clear as we notice that movement, you know, what is ego? What is confusion? And what is it that's unsustainable, the difference between that and the sustainable place that we're talking about, you know, which is the place where, the heart is, where love comes from, where generosity comes from, and other things.
And I have noticed, because process being everything, this is the way, this whole conversation is one that I have all the time in mm-hmm. so many, different, when things like this come up. Uh-huh. Do I drive my car down this road or that road?
Yep.
Or do I have this for dinner or that for dinner? Some things seemingly trivial, some things not, but this is, so it was also helpful in having enough awareness to kind of illuminate this conversation and be like, wow, okay, it's quite apparent that this is something that's been ongoing, since childhood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, how we do anything is how we do everything.
Yeah, and that was, that's, so when you say helpful, then it's been an important thing to experience this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, it's kind of like, oh, got me again. This is how I, quote-unquote, make decisions in my life,
or
that kind of thing.
As it is for all of us.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, Adam. I appreciate you calling today.
Thanks, Adam.
I look forward to meeting you guys sometime at one of the retreats coming out west. So,
absolutely, yeah.
Great.
Come see us.
Absolutely, I plan to. Thanks
okay,
again,
thanks.
Everybody.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us, Adam. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Today we have the special pleasure of having two special guests, Dave McKay and Deb Tull, who are senior monks at the Zen Monastery Center. Our topic of conversation today is sustainability. And the phone lines are open here, and I'd like to invite callers to join us today. Phone number is toll-free in North America. That's 866-613-1612. And if you're outside the U.S., you can reach us at 001-858-268-3068. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Coming up next on our second segment of today's show, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness and sustainability, and we'll be taking your call. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Today's topic is sustainability, and we have special guests, Dave and Deb, who are senior monks at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, talking about that topic. Dave and Deb, we have another caller.
Great.
Great.
I'd like to welcome Michael from California. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey, Michael. Hey.
Hello. I just called really to say hi to Deb and Dave, and I'm going to be coming to the monastery for a couple of weeks in May to help with the new meditation hall.
Oh, super.
Retreat. And I couldn't be more excited. Well, actually, I am a little bit more excited because our son's getting married here in less than 2 weeks. And so my wife and I are almost beside ourselves with excitement about that.
Congratulations.
And then I get to return from that trip and about a week later come to the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. A nice gift to give for yourself in the spring.
It is. And I've only been to the monastery for a week at a time, and I'm really looking forward to being there for twice as long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
kind of get a look at sustainability firsthand, perhaps.
Yes, yes. I had a pretty upsetting experience today with a close relative of mine, and I really don't want to go into any details, but it really brings up for me, those close relationships are such a possibility. We're so, it's so painful when we have a interaction with a loved one that that you didn't intend, and that is evidently so painful for them.
Mm-hmm.
It really hurts. And
and Michael, would you be willing to put words to the pain that came up today in this interview?
Put some words to what, Deb?
To the pain that came up today.
It was the pain had to do with when I was trying to talk to this person about something very close to them, and it just didn't come off at all. And they said I was being rude to them, and had my ego involved, it's like I had a wall slammed in front of me. And when I said, "Can we talk about this?" the answer was no. And this particular relationship is, I'm finding very difficult to sustain in a way that feels good to me.
Right, and it's difficult with these really close relationships, isn't it? Because we're so there's so much that seemingly so much at stake for us. There's so much of our self-image or our feeling of adequacy or whatever might be tied into the relationship.
Yeah.
And so as long as it's going well, everything's fine. That we can just go along feeling okay about ourselves. But as soon as something feels like it goes awry, because we've got it set up that our adequacy or our self-esteem or whatever it might be is dependent upon this other person, then everything, it just becomes very painful because we're not, in that relationship, we've sort of given away what's naturally ours, which is our own power to decide for ourselves that we're okay and to take care of ourselves in that way.
Yeah, and there's an additional factor here in this relationship because there's a fear that if I don't handle it just right, something very bad might happen to this other person.
A fear that if you don't handle it right, if you don't do things in some particular way, then the outcome's going to be really bad.
But for the other person.
Yeah. And again, in kind of the world of our conditioning, it is all up to us. There is a right and a wrong way to do it. There is a way that we believe there's some perfect way that we can present ourselves, that we can communicate, that will have this effect on this other person.
Yeah.
And as Dave's saying, it's kind of like we abandon ourselves in that whole process because we're giving away our sense of okayness just right now in this moment try to be some particular way that's going to make everything okay for someone else.
Yeah. And there's a belief that I need to figure out how to make the communication line flow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, whereas that's really not what's required at all, is it?
I don't know. I think it is.
Yeah, well, it seems like it from within the world that part of you lives in who is suffering over this.
Yeah.
But I would imagine, if we really looked at it, we might say that, what would be more helpful to that part of you would be maybe to withdraw the attention from that from the outside circumstances and put the attention instead on him.
Yeah.
And instead of leaving him in a world where, somehow he's got to get what he needs from the outside and he doesn't have any control over what's going on the outside, that perhaps we could just let the outside go and just give him what he needs right here in this moment.
Yeah. That's tough. No, it's not. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So as Dave's saying that, I mean, what's coming up is for that part of you. How does he?
Well, I think what's going on is there's definitely that part. I completely see what you're saying. There's another part of me that is a different aspect of my personality, I think, who really feels responsible for this other person, this external person. So that's just that much more to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't actually call to talk about this, but it came up. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and these kind of things are really important, aren't they?
Well,
and,
yeah.
You know, we could, to look at it in terms of sustainability, I wonder if you would agree that that attitude of mind that we're talking about, that, you know, that compassionate sort of caring of that part of you would be, in this situation, what would be sustainable, in the sense that sustaining you and sustaining your ability to live and participate in and experience, you know, well-being and joy in your life.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So just coming back to what would take care of Michael right now.
Right, right. Mm. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, both of you. And I'm looking forward to being with you and helping out.
Yeah, thank you too, Michael. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Thanks, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Michael. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Deb, I was appreciating that comment about what would take care of Michael.
I'm sure you were, Michael.
Thank you for that. Just piggyback onto that conversation.
Oh.
We have another caller.
Great, super.
I'd like to welcome Claire from Palo Alto. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey, Claire.
Hey, Claire.
Hi, Deb. Hi, Dave. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
I just wanted to share my response to the conversation at the beginning about sustainability.
Okay, great. Yeah.
So to begin with, I don't know if this is right, but when I think about something sustainability, it means something that's going to go on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that a part of my conditioning is very cynical. And what comes up for me is, oh, yeah, love doesn't go on and on and on. Love stops. And also, the cynical part of me says that, you know, the self-hate voices that I have,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be with me until I die, so they're sustainable. So I'm in a conditioned place with this conversation about sustainability, so I wanted to call to try and get some clarity around this.
Uh-huh. So would you say this part of you is hearing the conversation, who's very cynical, who essentially believes, you know, the only thing in life that might go on and on and on is my self-hate?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, because the way that we talk about the practice is to recognize the self-hate and to drop it, so it's always going to be here with me.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel like that, now that may be so, that self-hate is always going to kind of tag along with you in an attempt to have you believe in its reality, but do you, in the experience you've had with working with it so far, do you see a possibility where it does not have to have your energy at times?
That's a very good point.
Uh-huh.
That opens another door. Thank you very much.
the cynic just couldn't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear you call, because I've been looking at that for myself too. You know, because conditioning does go on and on.
Right.
You know, it's everywhere in the world, but it isn't. It's going on and on, but it isn't sustainable because it's eating up the resources.
Right.
So for each individual, you know, it's constantly consuming the life resources, the life energy that person has.
Right.
That's what's happening on the inside. And on the outside, the same thing's going on. You know, we're as a species, we're consuming the resources on this planet. So it's going on, but it's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And that,
mm-hmm.
to me, that makes it particularly interesting, that question, you know, well, do we have to give it our energy? Because if we don't, then suddenly, you know, it's unplugged from that source of energy, and then we find ourselves just kind of mentally, which I think might have just happened for you just a moment ago, in a place where it's kind of like where the energy comes from, and that really is sustainable. You know, it's kind of the opposite of the place where ego lives.
Because what happened to me is I suddenly remembered that I had choice, that if I paid attention,
uh-huh.
I had a choice.
Yes. And that seems so key, remembering that you have choice. Because when we're just kind of locked in our heads, listening to our internal cynic, I mean, everything looks dark. In terms of sustainability, there we are, just believing the doom and gloom. Nothing is ever going to change. There's no options, or there's nothing I can do about this situation. No way I can contribute. And then as soon as we talk about in this practice, disidentify from that place, there's all kinds of possibility.
Right.
There's all kinds of that choice is clear to us again.
Right.
I mean, just in terms of sustainability, there's all kinds of things that we can do to be caring presences in the world right now to
right.
affect the situation that might seem doom and gloom.
Yeah, it just what comes up to me now is just really wanting to work on being more conscious and aware, just so that I can make choices that will be sustainable.
Yeah, and that seems so important for all of us, isn't it? Because we're going to be sustaining something.
Right.
With our life energy.
Yes.
Right? And one choice we have is to sustain conditioned mind.
Uh-huh.
Full of hatred and discontent and, you know, jealousy and competition and all these kinds of things that are, you can see, just manifesting through people so much in the world. Or the other choice we have is to sustain that which brings us to life. And that which nourishes us, and that we really do have that choice. And I think for the world at large, few people see that choice.
Right.
And so we're just so fortunate in for you know those of us who do that we see that choice, and that we actually know that we can make a choice for ourselves that's sustainable. You know, that we can sustain what sustains us.
Mm-hmm. And that essentially, that's as simple as practice is remembering that choice over and over and over, remembering that we have a choice.
Right. Well, thank you very much. This has been very helpful for me.
Oh, great. Well, thanks for calling in, Claire.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Thanks for joining. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We're talking today about sustainability with two of the senior monks from the Zen Monastery Peace Center. And we have another caller.
Wow, we're popular today.
You're popular. I'd like to welcome Jean from Philadelphia. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi.
Are you
Hi.
There, Jean?
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you now, yes.
Okay, great.
Okay, great.
I'm calling. I guess I just decided about 5 minutes ago that I needed to call, and I'm a little anxious about it because I don't know that I have all my thoughts together, but I just felt like I needed to call. I just want to say hello to Dave. I did the workshop, the 8-day workshop with Dave in Rehoboth.
Uh-huh.
And
I recognize your voice.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling. I did the workshop in Philadelphia, the same one that Adam did over the weekend, and I did it with Jen.
Uh-huh.
And at the end, Jen asked us to get a piece of paper and divide into three columns, and in the first column, she asked to put how I would like my life to be, and then the second, why I want it to be that way, and the third was, what do you get from it, or how would your life be?
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized was in the third column, the word that really came to me was freedom. And what I would get from my life being the way I want it to be was a sense of freedom.
Uh-huh. So that's kind of the bottom line.
And wonder, yes.
It might look like a lot of things. Like you might feel like you need to do this or that or the other thing to get freedom, but what you really want is what's underneath it, just that sense of being free.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what really struck me was I immediately kind of looked at the way I behave, my conditioned way of being in the world, and that is one of limiting my needs, not trusting, basically trying to eliminate my needs.
Uh-huh.
And
eliminating you, essentially.
What's that?
Eliminating you, eliminating kind of what's most intimate to yourself, most likely.
Yes. And what, I'm not sure if I'm going to be clear here, but what was so powerful was that this part of me that's looking to protect me, or that says it is, that tells me I need to shut down and not have any needs, is this protection is there on the other end with that freedom. It's wow. built into it because there can't be humiliation, there can't be what I fear. It's the trust is built into it. It's like it's created by being this way.
Yes. Yeah, so you don't have to take sort of an in-between step of giving up all of your needs to get this kind of trust that's part of what you really want. When you're in that place of freedom, it's all there. It's already there.
there's safety is just there. That's what the ease is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yet we get conned into believing, don't we, that we have to be a certain way. We have to cut certain parts of ourselves off, as you're pointing to, not have any needs. This is kind of how we all learn our different ways to survive, to get to that place of trust, supposedly. But it's the opposite. That's sort of what takes it away, isn't it?
Yes, it's a lie. And I think how this relates to the topic is with this freedom, I mean, what comes up for me is just a desire to participate in the world, to be engaged.
Yeah. And, which is what you're doing right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just realized 5 minutes ago that you need to call. And what I'm imagining what you mean by that is you need to make that free choice for yourself. You need to step out of whatever it might be that might attempt to limit you in this moment and participate.
Yes, I think so.
Essentially what you're doing in this call.
Yeah, I need more of this kind of contact.
Mm-hmm.
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 Yeah. Yeah, rather than cutting off or discounting that need.
Right, to come up with reasons why it's not a good idea to call or to do whatever feels like a risk.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And do you have a sense today for you, what is it that that you were able to, what supported you and be able to just be in the moment and make the call?
It was just remembering what the experience was. You know, whether it was on Saturday or in the past the workshop or with friends who I've connected with. It's just...
Yeah, we might say...
Part of me understanding that I trust my experience. It's,
yeah, we might say remembering that you have that choice that we were just talking about. You have that choice for the previous caller. You have the choice to choose freedom for yourself.
Yeah.
It's actually something that is within your power. It's a choice that you can actually make.
Mm. Yes.
It's so easy to believe that we don't have that choice, you know, that we're the victims to our lives. We're victims to the voices of conditioned mind, but you know, especially, you know, so had an experience like at the workshop where there's a lot of support for realizing the alternative and just getting it. You know, I can choose the life that I want. You know, I can choose to have this experience of freedom that is my deepest heart's desire. And like as Dev was implying, I don't have to go through any kind of detours to get there. It's actually a choice that I can make for myself right now in this moment.
It's unconditional.
Yes, and it can be a little frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Not how direct it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's frightening for ego.
Available. Yeah.
Yeah, it's frightening for that which is not interested in us being free.
But the more we get in touch with it and begin to take that step out, as you took today, we can find ourselves in that place where the fear arises and kind of know that we're on the right track. We're heading in the right direction. And we have the tools to work with ourselves in that, in continuing to take the step.
Yeah, and having the awareness to see that as, see even the fear as interesting.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Even the fear is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that the fear is not you.
Right.
You know, it's not coming from that same place where it's possible for you to choose freedom in whatever way you do, like making the phone call or, you know, whatever however else you might do that. That the fear comes from that which is unsustainable, you know, that which is limiting and you know, uses your energy instead of that which liberates you to have your energy for yourself and to use it to live your life in the way that you want to.
Yeah, and as I'm listening, I'm really struck by how I'm projecting this experience has been really energizing for you, taking that step out. So
it is. I'm feeling it right now, actually, yes.
Say that again?
I'm feeling that right now. Energized would be, the word that I...
Yeah, so again, what choice, when we're making our choices, what is the choice that's going to fill my energy, that's going to provide energy? What is this choice going to lead towards suffering and steal the energy? Yeah, yeah.
Was there more about that?
No, I think that's all I had. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, and I think just really important for all of us, it's sort of a theme today. You know, just seeing that there is that choice, and that and as a part of our practice, we can just learn the difference. It doesn't have to be look any certain way. You know, at some point, we might find that we're choosing that which limits us, and that's what uses our energy, and that's fine because that's a part of the practice, and that's a part of how we, you know, how we learn the difference between the two.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you both. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Gene. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. It's an action-packed show today on sustainability. The phones are still ringing here.
Okay, great.
I'd like to welcome Cindy from San Mateo. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey, Cindy.
Hi there.
Hi.
Well, I didn't think I was going to call in today, I'll tell you that.
Huh?
I was, but it's interesting because you were talking about sustainability, and of course my brain met immediately to sustainability of the environment, and I thought, well, I'll listen to this, but I won't have much to contribute because I don't grow my own food or anything. But then when you're talking about sustainability in terms of a situation and how you handle it and how taking care of yourself is a sustainable way. You know, when you were talking about more about that kind of stuff, I realized that it pointed to something that I've been struggling with this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've been struggling with is I had a situation that sort of was a situation that pushed all of my conditioned buttons, the ones that sort of hook me most often. And what I was finding is when I was trying to be compassionate with myself, somehow I found that this decision that I was making for myself that was felt like the right thing for me felt like somehow they were not what the other people in the situation needed. You know, it was not what they want. What was going to be right for me did not feel like, well, I don't know, but it didn't feel like that was, I was prejudging that what was right for me wasn't going to be right for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I struggled with that. It's this thing about how do you be compassionate with yourself and take care of and acknowledge how you're feeling and what will sort of free you up to have energy for other things besides this thing that's, you know, on your mind. And yet, at the same time, be responsible for making sure that you're doing, you know, that you're going to be compassionate to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very difficult to figure that out. I felt that they were, it felt sort of mutually exclusive. I couldn't see the way where I could do both.
And I wonder if it might be interesting to you to look into that conclusion that they are mutually exclusive, because that's certainly not my experience of it. You know, when I look at what is it that takes care of other people in the world, if you want to broaden it out, it is what takes care of me. It's that, you know, taking care of myself is what takes care of other people. Now, it may be that other people, what they want is what's not sustainable.
Right.
You know, they want to suffer, they want to be in conflict, or they want to, you know, somehow entangle with your conditioning. And if that's what people want, you know, a process of self-compassion, of course, is not going to satisfy them.
Right.
But I know for myself what helps me with this is just knowing that, you know, if I am being with myself in compassionate self-awareness, that's what I have to offer to the world.
Right. And what I was seeing was I had some needs that I had been sort of repressing
mm-hmm.
and letting the other person's needs be more important.
Right.
And I had been okay with that. Every time something, a situation would come up, I'd say, well, you know, okay, does this matter enough? No, I guess, you know, this other person has these other things.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point that it wasn't okay. I thought, you know what, this is the same situation with the same person.
Yeah, that's not a sustainable process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I thought, well, I need to say something, or I need to say something. It's driving me crazy not to say anything. But I knew that by saying something, then I was going to have this whole thing with this person, because it's just the way it is. That's how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that's what did happen. I mean, I tried to be, you know, kind of neutral and not sort of, you know, tried to be calm and neutral in the way I expressed my needs and how I was feeling. But, of course, the person didn't want to hear that. And so it had the result that I expected, I have to say. I expressed myself, and I tried to do it in a compassionate way. But the person did react the way I had dreaded they would react. And that whole process, it's like, wow, you know, do I just say nothing? Or, you know, how long, you know, it's been an interesting thing. But it's this thing about how do you be compassionate to yourself and with the other person at the same time.
Yeah, because it sounds like there's a belief system you carry around that says, you know, we can't be compassionate with ourselves and the other person at the same time. This belief system that says somehow my attention has to be on other people and making sure they're going to be okay. So I'm gonna discount my needs and not express what might be arising for me in order to fulfill that. And then it builds up, and then it sort of proves itself, because eventually sort of it erupts. You express something, and see, you get told what happened is bad, their response was bad. See, this proves that you should not express yourself. You should keep your attention on pleasing other people. And that's not sustainable, as you're describing.
And of course, the trick with that is to see that there is no other person. It seems so much like there is, like somehow the way I'm feeling is being caused by the other person or the interaction I'm having with the other person. But, you know, when we really look, we can see that, you know, it really doesn't. You know, I'm creating my own experience here. And so, you know, and it works so well for peace and for the compassion that you're looking for, because then we don't have to depend on someone else for what we want. Now, this is the hardest thing in the world for us to do as human beings, but it's possible for each of us to take care of our own needs, no matter what they might be. We tend to project them out and sort of set things up in a way that they'll never get met, which is, I think, what you're outlining for us. But as we turn our attention, pull our attention away from the outside and just and give our attention to the process that's happening inside of us, then there's a possibility for that compassionate self-acceptance that we've been talking about, which really does take care of us, which really does take care of that need. And then from that place, we can look and say, well, what do I want to do on the outside? You know, what would be the most skillful thing here?
Mm-hmm. And it's neat, because as I'm listening, I can really relate to that process that you're describing. And it feels like just right now, just getting in touch with, okay, so here's this part of me who... she believes she always has to have her attention outward, pleasing other people, and that doesn't include her. So how can I take care of, again, the question we were looking at earlier, just how can I attend to this person right here, right now, who's in front of me?
And when I did that, you know, I'd have moments of clarity where I'd go, I could see very clearly that it's like, wow, I have to say something.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I need to say something, not because out of anger or anything, but I need to express myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing was like, okay, I need to express it, but now I have to find the right words.
Mm-hmm.
So that
well,
I express it
like
in the right way, so this person, that it doesn't upset them. How to, you know, express my needs in a way that is the other person, that will mitigate their response.
Well, what would it be like to express it to you instead of to the other person?
Hmm. Right.
Because that's the piece where it works. That's the piece where it's sustainable. Because if we're dependent on somebody else, at some point we're always going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're always going to fail to get our needs met, because nobody else can provide those things for ourselves. But when we get it that we are what we need, even with something like that, you know, I need my own attention. I've got something going on I need to express. Well, I can also be the listener of that. And there's a place where it all comes together, and we're able to take care of ourselves in the way that we're really hoping other people will. And in that, we receive what we want. And then suddenly we have something to offer to the world. We're a source of what's sustainable instead of needing to get what we need, what we want from the outside.
Needing and always failing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How does that fit with you?
Well, you touched on something. I thought, well, what if I had been the person? What if I had, when I knew that I needed to express myself, what if I had been the other person and I was trying to explain to myself the situation? I something in that made me see that I would choose different words than the ones I actually chose to the outside person. So I would have chosen different words.
Well, again, and as Dave was pointing to, it might be neat, even now, to just sit down, kind of sit down with that part of yourself and let herself, she doesn't have to choose any particular words, let herself say whatever she needs to say. Let her write it all out. Let her have a space to express herself instead of needing to go through this, you know, it needs to be presented in a particular way. And see what it's like just to listen to her, just to give her the space to put it all out.
Yeah, because something in the process, because it's a long conditioned process.
It's a setup.
As soon as I get a glimpse of my need, I have all of these other things that come with it. Like quickly, on the heels of that moment of clarity are, how am I going to say that? You know, just all of the other stuff.
Yeah, and
so
all that stuff is designed to take you away from the place where you can actually take care of that need.
Yeah.
It takes your attention away from you. And really, when we look at it, that's all we need for each of us. It's just to have our own attention, to have our own loving intention. And all this thing that we call conditioned mind, you know, all these conversations that are going on in our head and all the things that we believe and all the worlds that we make up to live in, you know, the whole point of that is to take our attention away. And when we kind of get that's how it is, you know, when we get it that there really is no other person in this situation, there's only me, then we can bring our attention back, and in that bringing back, suddenly have what we really want.
And
you have the life that we want.
And that's where we are sustaining life. We're bringing our...
Yeah, and see, that's interesting, because the word sustainable was something about one of the previous callers. I have been saying during this process in the past week that I just can't do this anymore. It's
right.
Too hard on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, yeah, this is not sustainable.
Like, yeah.
Literally, it's not sustainable. I'm going to...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it, that's the kind of thing. It'll kill us.
Yeah.
You know, if we just let it go on. And, you know, and it's what we, you know, this is a particular sort of version of what we all struggle with.
Yeah.
You know, we're all deeply addicted to this system in our minds that isn't sustainable. It, in a way, is living off of our life force. But as we start to catch on to how that works, like you are in this particular content, you know, that you know, what you're seeing is, well, here's how we get set up that I don't get my needs met. As we catch on to that, then we can step back from that system, and we can begin to, you know, bring our attention back to ourselves and be for ourselves what we're wanting so much to get from the outside.
I mean, the feeling that comes up when you know the idea. It's funny, my eyes are welling up with tears. The idea that I would spend the rest of my life simply focusing on bringing my loving attention back to myself, to
mm-hmm.
take care of myself,
mm-hmm.
is like unbelievable. Just mm-hmm. the idea of that out of that, all of this, you know, out of that, all of these struggles that I have would dissipate. I mean,
yes.
The cynic in me, someone else was talking about the cynic earlier. It's like, wow, I think, could it be that easy? Could it? I mean, it's
yeah.
easier
well, the good
to
news is you can
do,
find
but,
out.
Yeah. Well. yeah.
You don't have to believe anything about it. You don't have to, it's not a thought, it's actually an experience. So as you kind of have that in your awareness as a possibility and practicing with that, what will happen is you'll have experiences where that's so. You'll just suddenly realize that you'll see an opening for taking care of yourself in the way that we're talking about, and you'll do that, and then there's the experience. And the more experiences we have of that, the more that we see that all of this world of ego that we live in really isn't the place that we want to live. You know, where we want to live is that place of self-compassion that sustains, you know, our lives and takes care of our needs and puts us in a place where we can serve ourselves and everyone else.
Right,
that place that we call center. And what's so magic about it is that it is the place that takes care of all of everyone. So that whole conversation in your head you started off with just doesn't have any power anymore.
And like the indicator, any time that you're not in a conversation of loving compassion or self-compassion, as you just called it, or giving loving attention to yourself, then you know you're, if you're not there, then you know you're not, you're off-center.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And just recognizing that, there's the invitation back to the moment.
Yeah, I don't have to figure it out. I don't say, is this? It's like, no, does this feel like loving attention towards myself? No. Okay, well, I don't have to think about it anymore.
Right. That's exactly right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's something that I will be... it's interesting. The heat of this situation has sort of passed through and sort of had its moment, but I certainly will be writing this down and trying to come back to that place over and over again.
Great. Excellent.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We had a fabulous show today with Deb and Dave, who are senior monks at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Our conversation was on sustainability. Dave and Deb, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks a lot, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Let's do it again.
You bet.
All right. Good night.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.